Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is Tuesday. That means two for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to be talking about music, the best cover songs of all time. Play a little bit of those, talk about those. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest premiered in theaters on this date. And we're going to talk about movies that are actually better than the book. And much more. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us via talk or text. Right now, though, I would like to welcome to the show one of my favorite stand-up comedians. This guy is hilarious. And you've seen him on a ton of stuff, Drunk History and At Midnight. He's done all the talk shows, Workaholics, This Is Not Happening, Not Safe with Nikki Glaser, and so many things. He's a great stand-up comedian. He's going to be actually playing at Talia Hall on Monday the 25th and Tuesday the 26th of November, bringing his show Spring Break to Talia Hall. And it starts at 8:30. Tuesday is sold out, but there's still tickets available for Monday the 25th. And I would like to welcome to the show Kyle Kinane. Kyle, welcome to the show, man.
How's it going?
Good, good, good. I think you're hilarious, my friend.
Well, thanks a bunch. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So you're
trying my best, you know.
Well, you're doing great, man. So you're from Addison, Illinois, just these parts, right?
Oh yeah, just a clip down Lake Street there.
Yeah.
Back somewhere between an Applebee's and a Chili's. You know how it works out that way.
Yeah. Well, what was it like growing up here in the Chicagoland area? Did you have like were you raised in a funny household?
Oh man, yeah, the cultural hot pot of DuPage County. Let me tell you, it was always pretty easy going. It was always pretty much, I don't know. I think everybody was quick to lighten the mood if things were too tense. So That's probably where it came from. And then, I don't know. I think it's more of a larger Midwest sensibility that, you know, life's not going to be great. So if you're going to complain about it, you better be entertaining while you're complaining about it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why would anybody want to listen to you? Like, if you're gonna bitch, at least be funny about it. At least give other people a reason to listen. And that's why, I tried to get all my friends into stand up, and none of them wanted to do it. All my friends are funnier than I am, but none of them want them to come with me.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you also studied at Columbia.
Well, who hasn't?
Yeah, I know. I did too. I went there too, Kyle. So.
I think everybody has to go there for at least a few months, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the buffer between community college and the real 4-year school you finally go to?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but when did you start getting interested in comedy? Have you always been a fan?
It was one of those things. I always wanted to do stand up, but I didn't know how to start. I didn't know what comedy clubs were. You'd watch TV and I would watch Johnny Carson as a little kid. And then at the end, if there wasn't a band, there'd be a guy just standing there talking.
Right.
I was like, well, how do you get to that?
Yeah.
Like, there's no map of how do you get to that. I didn't know what open mics were. And it was actually at Columbia that I met a pal of mine, John Berger, that I saw him in class. I'd done some casting call at Zany's that I read about, and I think it was the Daily Herald. It was like, oh, we're doing this casting call for comics. I'm like, well, here's my chance. This is how you start stand-up. Went, did it, and never knew anything else about it. And then one of the guys from that I saw in my class at Columbia, so I asked him, like, how do you do it? He said, oh, there's open mics everywhere. This is a pre-internet, so I just had to get the copy of the Chicago Reader that had the listing for all the Chicago open mics. And then once I found that was it. I was doing that every night I could.
Mm-hmm. And how did it go at first?
Well, it always goes better than you expect maybe the very first time you do it.
Yeah.
And then never that good again. So it's the drug dealer method. You get the little free bit to get you hooked on it, and then you ruined your life. Now you're embroiled in it.
And then you do stand-up around Chicago all over the place?
All over the place. I started Mark Geary, who still runs the Lincoln Lodge to this day. It's like one of the longest running independent comedy venues, I think, in the country. I think they got that title now. But he used to run an open mic at the Red Lion Pub on Lincoln.
Oh, sure.
Which,
yeah.
I think, I don't know if that's still there anymore.
It's not.
It's not.
No.
Oh, that was fun because I always had like these really burly bodybuilder bartenders there.
Yeah.
If you need some more B's in that sentence, I can get them for you. But all those guys would also talk about how they never wanted to be there when it was closing because it was haunted. There's like a tunnel that would go from one bar to the back. Like, I don't know, I think it's a little kid ghost. I'm like, you are just 300 pounds of all muscle, and you're scared of a child ghost in here. And anyway, here's some jokes. It was a nice environment for creativity and weirdness over there. And then the Lion's Den open mic. That was at a bar on Irving Damon and Lincoln.
Yeah.
So you know that one, and that's no longer there. But that was the big one. That's where a lot of the names you saw, like, that are coming out of Chicago now. We kind of all cut our teeth over at those two spots.
You moved to LA in 2003. And how did that go when you first got there?
Well, I figured if I was going to move away from my family and friends to pursue a silly dream, if I was going to be depressed, at least there'd be palm trees in the background. But it's L.A. or New York, and no offense, but I'm not doing it. If I'm going to gamble with my life, I'm going to do it where the weather's a little nicer than New York.
Right. So,
that was really the only motivating factor. I think I knew more people in New York, had more connections in New York. But I was like, but there's a beach. It's hard to be sad at the beach.
Mm-hmm. And so you just started doing stand-up out there, and the rest is history, correct?
Yeah, same thing. You get the newspaper listing, all the open mics, and you start getting your teeth kicked in every night and find out if you love it enough to keep going through that punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, so yeah, okay, no problem.
Yeah. Well, you're playing, have you ever been to Talia Hall before?
I've been there. This is, I think, the third or fourth time I'm doing a Thanksgiving time show there. It's kind of become an annual thing.
Oh, that's cool.
This is the first time I'm doing two shows. So.
Yeah. Monday the 25th is not sold out, but Tuesday is. I love Talia Hall. I love that place. It's
great.
It's beautiful, man. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm happy to be back there. Like I said, it's the third, fourth time. It's been fun every time. I get different lineups both nights. I've got John Roy, who's also a Chicago comic, coming back. He's there on Tuesday. I got my buddy Shane Torres, who people might know. He's there Monday. I've got Molly Kearney, and I just met her recently. I'm actually out here in L.A., but she's a Chicago comic, and she blew me away. So I was like, yeah, if you're around, do the show. And it's fun. It's like a holiday homecoming thing. Yeah. So it's just a good time.
That's great, man. And people can check it out. It's at Talia Hall, 8:30, and there are tickets available for the Monday, November 25th show. Some of the stuff that you've done, Kyle, I'm a big fan of everything. I really, really miss At Midnight. And I know it was hard. It was Hardwick's decision. It was Hardwick's decision to stop it, and I understand that. The guy only had 53 jobs at one point. But
I would get on a jet after the show to go host Good Morning America in New York and fly back. I'm like, how do you do this? How do people do this?
Yeah. But I thought you killed on At Midnight. Every single time you were on, you killed, and I just thought it was such a fun show.
Yeah. It was such an excuse to be current, because you were taping it and it was going to air either that night or sometime that week. We were talking about current events. It was a fun atmosphere to just hang out with all the other comics, and I don't want to say nobody took it too seriously, but the fact that it was fun to play around. You forgot you were on TV, and you thought you were just hanging out with your pals that were other comics.
Yeah, that's what it felt like too.
And so I think. I thought that translated to when people watched it. And then even in the studio, I think the audiences were having like, oh, this is just a real fun comedy show. You kind of forgot that the cameras were there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And it was a really nice, it was nice for a lot of a nice showcase for you guys. I mean, you got these comedians who are on every night and then suddenly At Midnight's gone. But now David Spade has got that show in that time slot, and he's bringing a lot of the folks that used to be on At Midnight onto his show.
Oh, is that what's going on? That's good to know. It's good to hear that from you and not from show business. Anything else I'm missing?
No, I don't think so. I think that's about it. But no, but I
busted your balls.
That's all right, man.
I see that. It's like, oh yeah, that's getting in the same pocket. But just, and it was tough crowd with Colin Quinn. Same thing.
Yeah.
Get comics together to screw around and be themselves. And, you know, let them riff off each other, especially when you're taping it. It's like, you know, you tape some TV show, you realize you're only watching 22 minutes, and then some places will only give you 30 minutes to get that 22 minutes, whereas at midnight, it's like, nah, riff, hang out, we'll edit it. It's fine. Have fun with your friends.
And that's what it felt like. It just felt like everybody was having a great time, and that translated, you know, to the living room when I would watch it, and I thought it was great, and I really miss it. Yeah, but it was great. And you guys, how long would you tape? You said sometimes you get a half an hour, but they would just let you go?
The shows are only 22 minutes long, so outside of, like, it was just the jokes that you'd riff and you'd talk a little bit too long. Or they allowed you to do that. They weren't like, all right, no, shut up, we gotta go to this. It's like, no, play around, it's fine.
Yeah, that's cool. How did you like working on Not Safe with Nikki Glaser, another standout on At Midnight?
That was the one clip that was pretty popular where we were giving lines to adult
right
film
right.
stars.
Yes.
And my thing was like, regardless of how you feel about the adult industry, it's still an industry. I'm like,
right.
Well, thanks for letting us kind of make fun of your job.
Right.
I hope you're all right with it. Turns out that porn actors and actresses, pretty easy going. They know what they do for a living, and they're down for having a laugh. So that changed everything. I'm like, I don't want to be derogatory, but then they were just being fun.
Yeah.
In those clips, like, oh wait, they're funny to begin with. I don't even know why I'm here.
Yeah.
You just let them say this when they're making the regular films.
Yeah.
This would be more entertaining to watch pornography this way. If it's got a little dose of comedy in there. No, the dialogue's never something people are going for.
Right.
Put some good writing in there. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. A whole new audience. All right, Kyle, hang on, okay? Kyle, hold on.
Sure.
All right, Kyle Kinane is with us, an unbelievably funny guy, a great stand-up comedian. He brings Spring Break to the Talia Hall on Monday, November 25th, and Tuesday, November 26th. Tickets are still available for the 25th. Lots more to talk about with Kyle after we take this break here on 720 WEGN. Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN live in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. My guest right now is the very, very funny Kyle Kinane. And you can check out his website at kylekinane.com. That's Kinane. He's coming to town for a couple of gigs at the Talia Hall to do some stand-up. And we'll welcome Kyle back. Kyle, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back. I hear Wilco, and then I heard some old 97s
yeah.
earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
So let's talk about Drunk History. Your episode, the Haymarket Riots, is unbelievably funny. Absolutely hilarious. Did you choose that event to cover?
Well, actually, they were going over there. We're going to do, you know, we want to talk about Chicago, and I was going over to some other events, and they're like, how about this one? I'm like, oh, well, I guess I need to learn more about my city's own history.
Mm-hmm.
I did study up on it, but as far as how that show went, it's weird to, because you don't see an edit of it. And I love, like, the people that want to call it fake. No, it's not.
Yeah.
If you've ever drank so much you've blacked out, that's always a thing.
Yeah.
It's even weirder when that blackout is a TV show.
Right.
and you find out exactly what happened alongside millions of other people watching it.
It's got to be very weird. It's got to be very weird. And I think Derek Waters is hilarious. My favorites are always the cutaway to him laughing. That's always my favorite thing, you know. But now, so how long did you film and how much did you drink? Because you were bombed by the end of that thing.
Yeah, Nick, those are great questions.
I wish I knew.
I know I woke up the next day because they filmed at my apartment.
Right.
And then I woke up the next day and everything was a little bit cleaner than I normally keep it. and I just kept looking around like, oh, something happened in here. and I could, it took me like 20 minutes in the morning and be like, oh, yeah. You drank a bottle of tequila and you threw up in a bag in front of TV cameras. And so, yeah, that's what happened. And, I don't think I'll say I'm proud of it, but I'm not ashamed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I delivered entertainment that was expected for that.
And
I've done it two more times.
And I will say this.
I don't think I'm invited back because I think I'm a liability. So I don't think I'm invited back.
Well, I will say this about that show, which is a show that I love. It's all historically accurate. Like, Derek Waters, you know, really wants to tell the real story. So even though everybody's getting blitzed while they're telling the story, you learn something. And I'm not kidding. When I watch that show, I not only laugh my ass off, but I learn things, which is weird.
I've had people, you know, teachers that are like, I'm a history teacher and I play this for my class.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can retain information anyway possible, and you can get it through entertainment, and it's factually correct.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Hey, making that tiny little corner of the world better. You laughed at it, but you could also walk away going, I know some facts now.
Yeah. No, it's true.
That's true. Good for the world, right?
Yeah.
That's good for the world.
And your episode was very special, Kyle.
Jesus. It was a real... But I aged a few years that night.
Yeah. Okay, so hey, you are also the voice of Comedy Central. Like when you,
I was.
Oh, you're not anymore.
Yeah, that one's... That job went to my friend David Borey right now.
Oh, okay.
They changed it up, so it was. But it was 8 years I was doing that, and it was great. Yeah, it was no. Yeah, it was just they changed things around as things happen at showbiz.
Sure.
That went to a guy that I couldn't be happier. It went to, so I was like, yeah, it's a good run.
And also, but you do you now do a lot of voice work. Do you like doing that?
Yeah, I mean it's. I mean, when you think about stuff that you've done for money, when it's just you want to just be a cartoon character that swears a bunch, yeah, I could do that.
Uh-huh.
I sure can do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even acting. I wear pajamas into a sound booth,
yeah,
and say swear words as a drug dog on Paradise PD. Like, oh yeah, oh there's a paycheck with this. That
yeah.
Doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
That does, I have to actually go to an accountant and tell him this is how I got money in my account. That doesn't seem like how the world should work. I will be very grateful for that kind of work anytime it comes along.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So would you like being on the road, Kyle?
That might be a more complicated question than I anticipate. I do. I mean, it's all I want to do. I'm trying to... Maybe tour some slightly larger venues a little bit less of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, being away kind of takes its toll. You know, I'm sure you've heard all the road stories from musicians
sure.
and comics and
sure.
trying to maintain a home life, but then your job means you leave for X amount of days out of the year. And for a while, I didn't mind. As a single man out traveling, didn't have any responsibilities. I got a nice lady in my life, which if she's here, she's listening to me, so I'm saying that to butter up. And but no, I like being at home now. You know, I'm 42. I gave my life and my liver to stand up throughout my 20s and most of my 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, oh yeah, no, I like being home. So if I'm gonna leave, it's gotta be, I'm like, all right, I'm not saying make it worth it, because I'll do wherever. Don't
yeah.
make Rooch. I'm on the radio interview, Rachel. Trying to distract me. This is why, man, you know what? I love being on the road. Being on the road's great. No distractions. That's why it's great. I started touring and I was just going on, you know, Facebook or wherever, like, hey, I'm going to be in this city. I'm going to be in Oklahoma City and I'm going to be in St. Louis. And I've got these dates open in between. So if you're along this highway anywhere and you want to put on a comedy show, I'll do it. And I'll still put that attitude towards it. I was in Northern California just this past weekend, but I was flying into Medford, Oregon, and I was going to have a night off. But I'm like, no, you know what? Let's see. Hey, anybody in Medford want to do a comedy show? Why not? I'm going to want it.
That's amazing that you said Medford, Oregon, because that's where my ex-wife lives now. So maybe she came to see your show.
Oh boy, is that Medford? I mean, I started the show at Medford. I'm like, how's it going? But no, really, it looked rough. It was.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it didn't. It didn't look like things were going great in Medford for a while. No offense. Hey, no offense to your ex-wife. I know nothing of the situation you're in. But if that was your choice after Chicago, or I don't know.
Yeah. Yikes. Well, that was her choice. She left Chicago to go to Medford. So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
I've never been, so
no,
I don't know.
It's no Bakersfield. Okay. But I still had a fun show.
Yeah.
So to go back to the tour thing. Yeah, I'm not gonna go freewheeling it for 2 months away from home anymore. But like I'm gone most of this month, and then a lot of I think most of February, March, April next year, and then I take off. I try to go live my life. You know, I can't just write comedy about being in airports and hotels. I'm gonna live my life.
Yeah,
and then report back on that. So then that's what the rest of the year.
How often do you write, Kyle?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's never going to be. You know, the process slows down when you first start comedy. You haven't heard other people's comedy or don't, so you write jokes about every single thing you see, and you process it all through this new filter you've applied, and it's great because you don't second guess your creativity and your imagination, and you just write. At least that's how I did. I wrote about everything, and eventually you're like, oh, that joke is what somebody else does. That joke is actually just like this other one, but I didn't know that. It's just like, oh, you make a joke about everything. So the process slows down a little bit, but it never stops. It's always going to be, and you know, it's not so much, boy, did I get drunk and have this crazy story happen. I don't want that to happen. I'm 42. It starts to get sad when you have those stories.
Yeah.
If you're 23 and you're like, I got drunk last night, I don't even know where my pants are, but then the cops were the ones that bought me Denny's. Like, that's fun. Like, that's a fun story, and you should have that. But if you're in your 40s and that's still your story you're coming back with,
yeah.
Hey, man, you might need to get into a program and get your life together a little bit. So those aren't my stories as much anymore.
Right.
But if you're good at comedy, you should be able to write about anything. So that's the challenge right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I have not ever gotten sick of that challenge. Of everything else that I've tried and quit and or failed at within a brief amount of time, comedy is the only one that like, oh, I'm going to keep doing this regardless.
Yeah.
So I may as well try and make a few bucks off of it because it's the only thing I want to keep doing.
Well, you're great at it, man. I'm a huge fan and have been for a long time. Kyle Kinane, Spring Break is coming to Talia Hall, 8:30 showtime on Monday the 25th and on Tuesday the 26th. Tuesday is sold out, but there are tickets available for the Monday show. Go out and see Kyle Kinane. Check out KyleKinane.com. Kyle, real pleasure having you on the show, man. It was great talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Nick.
Okay, take care, buddy.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Kyle Kinane, everybody. Local boy makes good. Unbelievably funny guy. Go see him at Talia Hall. He's one of my favorites. It was great having him on. Okay, let's take a quick break here for the news on 720 WGN.